you're listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. This message is entitled Walking in Purity and is taken from the scripture passage of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. The sermon was given on February the 20th of 2005 at the First Baptist Church of Branson in Branson, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
We got your Bibles with you? Hold them up. Let me see. Oh, that's great. Good. Thank you so much. These folks are from Tonganoxie, Kansas, and some of them go to the church there where Andy's dad is the associate pastor. And that's at West Haven Baptist, and we appreciate these folks being with us today. Appreciate each of you being here. And so turn, please, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. The Lord willing, we're going to finish this chapter today. That means we're two-thirds of the way through this book. Isn't that amazing? We've only been at it about a year. And the Lord willing, we'll complete this fourth chapter. And I'll do my best. I think we can handle this. But as we go throughout these 7 points today, you jot some thoughts or questions down or some comments down, because I think we're going to have time at the end of the message today to do a little dialogue on these 7 points. And they're just real conducive for some give and take stuff. And so I think we'll have time to do that. I heard about a football coach who sent out a former player to recruit players for the team. And the recruiter asked the coach, said, "Now, what kind of a player do we want?" And the coach said, "Well, you know the man who gets knocked down and stays down? He said, we don't want him. We don't want that kind of player." He said, "Then there's the guy who gets up when he's knocked down. But when he's knocked down again, he stays down. He said, we don't want that kind of player either. But then there's the guy who keeps getting up, no matter how many times he gets knocked down." Now the recruiter interrupted the coach at that time and he said, That's the guy we want, isn't it, coach?" And the coach looked at him and said, No, that's not the guy we want either." And the recruiter looked at him rather puzzled. And he said, "Well, what kind of a guy do we want?" The coach said, "I want the guy who's knocking everybody down. That's the one we want." You know, that's the kind of Christian, stay with me, and that's the kind of church that God wants. Not somebody that's going around knocking everybody down. Follow the analogy here. Not somebody that's going around knocking everybody down, but the guy that's on the offensive. The guy that knows where the goal is. And the guy that's aggressively pursuing constantly the goal. The kind of person that is on the offense in the spiritual realm, and the kind of person that's going to get the upper hand in the underworld. That's the kind of Christian that God wants. And that's the kind of church that we need to be. That's what Paul's exhorting us about here. He gives us some extremely practical stepping stones in these last few verses in chapter 4. And they have to do with church relationships and Christian relationships. Now, the first 16 verses you recall here, Paul exhorted the church to walk in unity. And then beginning with verse 17 through the end of the chapter, he's exhorting us to walk in purity. And you recall the last three sermons, he took an interlude and had to do with an obvious contrast. The unchurched contrasted with the church. That's us, the church, the saved, the Christians. And he said, he told us there in verse 17, where he said, from now on, we ain't going to walk like the unchurched. We ain't going to live like the unchurched. Please pray for me this morning also, if you will. He said, we're not going to live and function like the unchurched. And then he gives us these exhortations in beginning with verse 25. Let's stand together and we'll read God's Word. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Now, these are relational stepping stones. Say those three words with me. Relational stepping stones. Seven things I want to show you, and again, write down some thoughts or questions that you might have. They had to do with our relationship as Christians and as the church. They're also very applicable to any of our relationships that we have. But specifically, obviously, from the book of Ephesians, they relate to church relations. Now, very practical things here. Number one. Integrity. Now, in verse 22, Paul said, put off. In verse 24, he said, put on. And now, here in verse 25, look what he says. Put away. But what does he say? To put away what? Lying. Put away lying. Now, I think that's interesting. That he simply... In the midst of talking about these relationships within the church, and in relationship of us walking in purity, he's saying there's something you need to put off, there's something you need to put on, and now he says there's something you need to put away. And that is lying. Put away lying. And he goes ahead and he says, speak truth. Put away lying and speak truth. Now, folks, we're the church. We're the church. This is what he's addressing it to. This has to do with relational stepping stones for you and me. And he says, you need to put away lying. And then he says, you need to speak truth. We're the church. We ought to be open, shouldn't we? We ought to be honest with one another. We ought to be transparent with one another. We ought to be accepting of one another. You know, my dad taught me this, and this was long, long, long before he ever became a Christian. It was just good living for him, and it was this. I don't know how many times my dad said to me, son, if your word's no good, You're no good. Man, he drilled that home. He drilled that home with me. If your word's no good, you're no good. I believe that. I believe that's a biblical principle. Even though if my dad thought it was a biblical principle, he probably wouldn't have been teaching it to us. He just thought that was good living. If your word's no good, if you're not a person of integrity, you're no good. It has to do with integrity. And you know, folks, Christians have the worst image. They do. I don't know how many people I've talked to, and business people, that have said to me, you know, I'd rather do business with a non-Christian than I would a Christian any old day. A non-Christian, you know where they stand. A Christian, you better watch out. They're probably going to try to take advantage of you. I don't know how many times I've talked to business people and they've related that thing. Just last Sunday at a restaurant here in town, struck up a conversation. There were about six or seven of us around the table and struck up a conversation with the waitress. And matter of fact, ended up praying for her and talking to her. She might be here this morning. I don't know. And began to just share relationally with the waitress. And at the end of that time, she said, "Y'all have been fun." And she said, "I'll be honest with you, back there in the kitchen, when we know there's a group of Christians that have come to town or come to the restaurant," she said, "we have to argue who has to take that table." Now, folks, that ought not to be the case. That ought not to be the case. We have a sense of poor integrity. Now, look what he says there in verse 25. He closes that verse by saying, "For we are members one of another." For we are members one of another. You see, we need to understand that a lack of integrity only hurts our own body. Does that make sense? That's why he's saying that. He's saying there's something you need to put away. And you need to put away lying. And we need to speak truth to one another. We need to learn to confront one another in love. We need to learn to speak truthfully with one another. We need to learn to be honest and transparent and accepting with one another. We need to have integrity with one another because he says, "For we are members one of another." When one person in the body lacks integrity, then it is a reflection on the whole body. All right, now here's the second word. It's the word interaction. It's found in verse 26. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be ye angry and sin not." Now, anger is a reactionary emotion. Just run that through your mind, what I just said. Anger is a reactionary, you react. Anger is a reactionary emotion. Carried to an extreme, it becomes an emotional action. Now, I want to repeat that. Anger is a reactionary emotion. Carried to an extreme, it becomes an emotional action. Let me illustrate that by giving you a few words. Hostility. Hostility. Do you know anybody that's hostile? Don't look around. Certainly don't look at your husband or wife right now. Hostility. Carried to an extreme, that reactionary emotion becomes an emotional action. Hostility. Vengeance. Vengeance. I'll get even. I'll get even. He or she may have done that to me, but payday is not always on Friday. I'll get even, one way or another. Hatred. Hatred. How many times have I heard somebody say, "I hate that person. I hate him. I hate her." Hatred becomes then an emotional action. Bitterness. Violence. You can pick a few words of your own. And you see, hostility, vengeance, hatred, bitterness, violence, all these types of actions coming about from the reactionary emotion of anger, that's sin. That's sin. That's why Paul says, be angry and what? Sin not. It is okay to have a reactionary emotion of anger. Did you hear that? That's okay. That's all right. It's okay to have a reactionary emotion of anger. And it won't be carried to an extreme if you deal with it. When are you going to deal with it? Look what he says there. Be angry and sin not. Let not the what? Sun go down upon your wrath. It's okay to have a reactionary emotion of anger, and it won't be carried to an extreme if you deal with it now. Deal with it today. That's why he says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. You need to deal with interactive relationships biblically. Write down Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. And you're familiar with that. But if someone's wronged you, it tells you how to deal with it. Matthew chapter 18. You see, we need to deal with interactive relationships biblically. The tragedy is that many Christians don't. Instead of going to that person, we go to everybody else. And we talk about that person. And we talk about how that person's wronged us. Instead of going to that person. And what's that do? It creates more and more anger within you. And ultimately, my friend, it ends up being an emotional action, a bitterness or a hatred or a resentment of some sort like that. That's sin. So it's okay to be upset, but don't stay upset. Here's the pastoral advice at this point. Get over it. Matter of fact, why don't you turn to somebody? Turn to your spouse and say, get over it. Go right ahead. It's probably very applicable for some couple here this morning. I mean, it's Sunday. Get over it. That's what he's saying here. All right, here's number three. Indomitable. Indomitable. That's a $5 word. It simply means not dominated. Not dominated. Look at verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Don't be dominated by the devil. That's what he says there. Don't be dominated by the devil. And the reality is that many Christians are. Many Christians are dominated by the devil. But instead, we need to persevere. We need to resist. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. And the reality is the devil has many of you on the run instead of us having the devil on the run. Amen? Hello, I know it's 8 o'clock, but come on with me. Have you ever been to an event and you're sitting in some kind of event and someone, I was in one just about 2 weeks ago and I mean it was packed out. It was packed out. And this very same thing happened. Someone's standing right over here at the aisle, and they look down there, and they see this. And what do they ask? I love it when they say this terminology. Is that seat saved? And I love to say, that ain't even under conviction. I know it ain't saved. But don't, I mean, you know, you've been in a situation like that. Now, look what that verse says. Where are we? 27? Is that what verse it is? Look what it says. Neither give place. Now, how many times has the devil come to you and said, is that area of your life saved? You doggone right it's saved, devil. When I got saved, everything about me got saved. Beat it. You can't have my mind. You can't sit there. You can't have my time. You can't sit there. You can't have my relationship with my wife. You can't have my relationship with my children. You can't have this. You can't. You bet it's saved, devil. Beat it. That's what he's saying here. Neither give place. Are these three things down? These three things down. A definite area. If there's an area of your life, and man, isn't it amazing how the devil knows what area of your life to pick on? He's not as much of an idiot as we think he is. A definite area. He knows what area of our life to pick on, doesn't he? So don't give that place to the devil. A definite area, a decided act. Here's number two. A decided act. Neither. Neither. Don't you do it. You make up your mind when the devil says, scoot over, I want to sit there. Scoot over, I want in. Scoot over, I want a part of your life. Uh-uh. Nothing doing, devil. Beat it. And here's number three, a defeated adversary. You remind the devil, devil, you're on your way to hell, man, and I ain't going there with you. I'm on my way to heaven. You're a loser. I'm a winner through Jesus Christ. All right, here's the fourth word. Industrious, verse 28. Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. All right, write these three things down. Number one, don't get ahead through deceit and wrong. I mean, you're a Christian. You're the church. We ain't going to live like that other crowd does. We ain't going to live like we used to. And that's what he says, let him that stole steal no more. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. All right, here's number two. Develop a healthy work ethic. Now, the reality is some of you don't have a healthy work ethic. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. That's another thing my dad taught me, how to work. And some of you, there are some that think, well, the world owes me a living. The world doesn't owe you a living. I've had some people in the health and wealth gospel teaching that think God owes you a living. God doesn't owe you a living. And you can blame all of this on Adam and Eve. They're the ones that got thrown out of the garden, and God said, you're going to have to work the ground with the sweat of your brow from now on. My friend, Christians need to have a healthy work ethic. And then there's a third thing, there's a reason for that. And look what he says down there at the last part of verse 28. That he may have to give to him that needs. So, don't try to get ahead through deceit and wrong. Develop a healthy work ethic, and then be benevolent with what God's blessed you with. And you are. You're a benevolent church. Don't slack up on that. I mean, I'm thrilled with how benevolent you are as a church. It's amazing what you give and give out. Well, that's the way it ought to be. So just keep doing it that way. A relational stepping stone. All right, here's number five. Inspirational. Inspirational. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearing. We need to stop carnal communication from coming out of our mouth. Why don't you write that down? Stop carnal communication from coming out of our mouth. I'm amazed at how that happens. And that's how we need to cut down on jealousy, strife, envy, arguing, backbiting, backstabbing, put downs, bickering, whining. I got a sign. I had it hanging in my office, except one of the secretary didn't think I should have. It says, "Thou shalt not whine." So that seems uncaring. Sounds biblical to me. So we just need to stop carnal communication from coming out of our mouth. Now look what he says there. But that which is good to the use of edifying. That which is good to the use of edifying. What's that word edify mean? Building up. Folks, if you want put down, we'll just go out. We'll leave the church and go out to the outside world, to the secular world. It didn't take you long in the outside secular world to get put down. Because the outside world hates you. And it shouldn't surprise us that, because it hated Christ, why do we think it would love us? But that's not the way it ought to be within the environment. We ought to have a safe haven here where we're not going to get put down. We need to get built up. And so we need to learn to do that. Now look at this in verse 29. That which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace. That's what we need to do. Minister grace to one another. That word corrupt, let no corrupt, that means bad, rotten, worthless. Bad, rotten, worthless. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We need to inspire one another instead of putting each other down. We need to inspire one another, build one another up. All right, here's number 6. Intimate. Intimate. Verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That word grieve means doing what we shouldn't do. That's opposed to over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says to quench not the Spirit. And that word quench is doing, when we quench something, it's not doing what we should. When we quench the Holy Spirit, we're not doing what we should. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, we're doing what we shouldn't. Everybody with me on that? You quench the Holy Spirit by not doing what you should. You grieve the Holy Spirit by doing what you shouldn't. And that means you cause to make Him sorrowful or sorry. And He just simply says here, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit lives inwardly so that we might perform outwardly. That God's given us His Holy Spirit within us inwardly so that we might perform outwardly. But we grieve Him when we do what we shouldn't. And He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's the software functioning through our hardware, my friend. He's the one that's programming us. We need to let Him program us. He's the operations of our life. And so we don't need to be doing what we shouldn't be doing. It's going to be offensive or cause sorrow to come to the Holy Spirit who's intimate with us. This is God Himself living inside of you. All right, here's number 7, and that is the word indebted. And that's verses 31 and 32. And look what he says. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So see, don't function in the flesh of 31. Now read that again to yourself. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking should be put away from you. With all malice. That's my intention. My intention is to be this way. I've met people like that. I've met people like that. If they haven't drunk some pickle juice by the time 8 o'clock rolls around in the morning, they ain't ready to start the day. And God says, nah, that ain't the way the church ought to be living. That ain't the way our relationships ought to be. So don't function in the flesh of 31, but function in the favor of verse 32. Look what 32 says. And be ye kind one to another. Be kind. Tender-hearted. Now look at this. Forgiving. Oh my. Hello, church. Forgiving one another. Isn't it amazing to you? I mean, it sure is to me. How many times I deal with people that are not forgiving. Yeah, but Jay, you don't know how they've... You don't know what they did. Read on. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has done what? Yeah. Be indebted to others in reaction to your debt reduction from God. Let me say that again. Be indebted to others in reaction to your debt reduction from God. These are relational stepping stones. We've only got about 5 minutes. But what do you have to say? 7 stepping stones. Integrity, interaction, indomitable, industrious, inspirational, intimate, and indebted. Integrity. Anybody got any questions or comments on that one? Integrity. You got it? You got integrity? I sure hope so, because you see, that affects all of us. Isn't that what he said there in the last part of that verse? For we are members one of another. So that's why we need to put away lying when you speak truth. Interaction, verse 26. Questions or comments? Man, this is your chance and you're passing it up. Number 3, indomitable. Don't be dominated by the devil. Don't be dominated by the devil. Questions or comments? Illustrations? You ever feel like the devil has you on the run? Doesn't need to be. Industrious. Let him that stole steal no more. But go to work. And there's a reason for you to go to work. Not only does that pay the bills, but hopefully you got a little bit extra that you can give to those that actually have need. And we got some great, great illustrations of that in this church body. I'm telling you, some great illustrations of that. I mean, I can look around and I can pick out some of you right now and say, well, if you only knew what this person gives and how this person gives so generously and does this. And sometimes it's not just money. Sometimes it's material things. Sometimes it's their service, their work. Inspirational. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Say that with me. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know, if we do every church meeting and start with verse 29, it would cut down on most of the friction in churches, you know? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Any questions or comments? Intimate. And grieve not. Grieve not who? The Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever been grieved? Go like this. Sure you have. I mean, if you're married or got a family, you've been grieved. There's been something that your husband or wife has done or said, been something that your mom or dad has said, something that your son or daughter has said or done. It's brought sorrow to you. You've been sorry. Well, think about what he says here. And grieve not who? The Holy Spirit. Whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. There's that intimacy with God Himself. So don't make Him sorry. Don't bring sorrow to Him. Indebted. Yeah, Charlie. Wow, yeah. Yeah. The number one, I would not disagree with that. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Isn't it amazing how we keep such good records? How we keep such good records? Is there anything God can't do? That's a load of questions, so be careful. Is there anything God can't do? Yeah, there is. Oh, and side, don't catch me out in the hall and say, now wait, what does it say about nothing's impossible to God? Listen, of His own volition, there's one thing God can't do. He can't remember your sin. Think about it. He has chosen to forgive us. And as far as the east is from the west, He's carried our sins away, and He says, I remember them no more. So of His own volition, He's chosen not to remember our sin. That ought to make an 8 o'clock crowd say amen. Go ahead, Tom. Somebody wanted to clap. Yeah. Now, if you want to come back at 10:30, that'll happen spontaneously at that point. But you got to sort of draw it out at 8. But Charlie, thank you for that. But yet we are so good at keeping records. So good at keeping records. Yeah. Yeah, he says, does that mean I can forgive but I can't forget? What the truth is, go back to, where were we, integrity, verse 25? What the truth is, I can forgive, but I choose not to forget.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hereshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.